Good morning. It's good to see you in church, and well done for getting here. This morning you'll notice that my voice isn't great, so I'm hoping you're going to sing well, because I'm going to sit down and listen, because there's no way that I could sing through a service, but there we go. Hopefully I'll get through the sermon, and there was some rejoicing at the door with certain people who said, oh, so it'll be a shorter sermon this Sunday. I'll lengthen one of the later ones for them, though. Anyway, good to see you. A happy new year, and I'll hand over to Rosemary.
Good morning, and a very happy new year to everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. To any newcomers or visitors, not sure we've got any newcomers in today. Our service will be a little shorter than usual, as it is, of course, New Year's Day, or Nair Day, as we refer to in Scotland. There is no Zoom presentation this morning, but everything will return to normal next Sunday. Warm spaces. The church will be open every Wednesday afternoon, starting this Wednesday, 4th of January, from 1:30 to 5 p.m. Hope to see you there for a cuppa, a blether, and games. We will also be offering a movie afternoon on alternate weeks. First up is Downton Abbey on the 11th of January. The order of service and full intimations have been printed, but we only have a small number of these, so please ask to see one if you don't already have it. The sheet is also available to download from the website. Thank you.
Our first hymn is number 303, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Oh,
let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, all that we are and all that we have comes from you. From your goodness to us, we offer our gifts for the work of your church. Bless our offering, we pray, as it is used in the work of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Alistair is going to be leading us in prayer this morning.
So we come to our prayers this morning, and I've included in our prayer towards the end of the prayer a prayer by Ruth Calkin. No, I've never heard of her either. But anyway, she personifies the new year. So let us come before God in prayer. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, our Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Worthy of praise from every mouth, of confession of every tongue, of worship from every creature, is your glorious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who created the world in your grace, and by your compassion did come to save the world. To your majesty, 10,000 times 10,000 bow down and adore, singing and praising without ceasing, and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your praises. Hosanna in the highest. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Almighty and everlasting God, as we praise you, we also confess our need of your forgiveness. Forgive us our needless doubts, our selfish anger, our arrogant pride. We are sorry for our lack of respect for others, our wandering away from you, our taking your grace for granted. We beg pardon for our sins, remembering that Jesus died on that cross to take them away. Raise us up once more. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessing all ours with 10,000 beside. Mysterious new year, so wrapped in reserve and surprise, you have no reason to feel smug or even condescending. After all, the majestic God has full knowledge of you, just as he has of us. There is not an issue that you can evade. Furthermore, you are powerless to do anything to us that God does not permit. All he allows in his infinite wisdom is for our ultimate good and his greatest glory. Consequently, New Year, you cannot trick or disillusion us by your baffling unexplainables or your feverish activity. Our times are in the hands of our sovereign God, whose power is limitless and whose love for us is everlasting. Everlasting God, please hear us as we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our reading this morning is not unexpected. It is the story of the Magi and the escape to Egypt from Matthew's Gospel, and Marion will read for us.
This morning's reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 18. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So they got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Amen.
We sing now hymn number 326, "As with Gladness, Men of Old."
Thank you.
It was sometime during my early to mid-teens that I was first allowed to stay up for New Year. For young people back in the 1970s, this was a small step into becoming part of the adult world. To see the New Year in, I was allowed a can of shandy. Now, if you remember, those were actually found on the soft drinks shelf of the supermarket. There was little or no alcohol present. The other permitted drink was my granny's New Year tipple, which, if you remember carefully, was a tumbler with half an inch of advocaat and filled up with lemonade. And I was thinking, goodness, nobody will know what advocaat is, but I'm reliably informed that it's become quite a trendy drink. So you can be down with the kids if you're having your advocaat. From those days onward, I have found New Year's Day a very odd day. Usually because I've been up at midnight and been exchanging greetings. You'll not be surprised to know that I went to my bed last night and slept through the New Year. But normally I would have met people, and you say all the Happy New Year stuff, you maybe phone people, text them, whatever. You go to your bed, you wake up the next day only to find that it's the same day. And that seems very odd. Then, with New Year, there is that question, which I've never found a definitive answer. When do you stop wishing people a Happy New Year? Is it after the first week? Is it after the first month? What do you do when you meet someone for the first time in February or March? We might also ask the question, what's so special about the 1st of January anyway? It is just a date like any other in the calendar. The only difference is that we have chosen that that's the start of the year, so we go from 22 to 23. But it's not the only new year that we have. If you think how many different years we actually observe. In terms of worship, that begins on the first Sunday in Advent. The tax year begins in April. The school year begins in August. And a great number of businesses don't use the calendar year at all. There is also the strange contradiction between our feeling that this is a new start, and yet everything just seems to continue as it's aye been. The world doesn't seem to notice that there is a new year. It was with all of these kind of thoughts in my head that I turned to the reading that I'd put down for this service, the story of the Magi. When I looked at it, I realised that most of that story does not make it into the traditional nativity. We end up at the end of Christmas, in terms of nativity, with a tableau. That tableau is of Mary, Joseph and manger, surrounded by shepherds, magi, animals and angels. But if you look at what is written in the Bible, it doesn't exist. There is no nice, neat ending to the story of Jesus' birth. Neither Matthew nor Luke intend there to be. In fact, most biblical scholars tell us that the purpose of the birth stories is to give us hints as to what is to come. The stories are meant to say, read on, not pack it away until next Christmas. The Christmas story has never been meant to be a standalone festival or story. It's not meant to be something that we leave behind as we go on to celebrate New Year. When we read Matthew's account of the visit of the Magi, there is a tendency to concentrate upon the miraculous, the mysterious, and the symbolic. There is the star. There are the exotic visitors from the east. There are gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is this that we insert into Luke's story of a baby in a manger and the visit of shepherds. If you read carefully, Matthew talks of Jesus as a child, not a baby. There's no mention of a manger. The Magi find him in a house. Most scholars think that Jesus was around 2 years old when the Magi visited. Hence Herod's decision about getting rid of children up to 2 years old. Our picture of three kings on camels is most definitely not right. The Magi were not kings. They were, in fact, the advisors of kings. They were a kind of religious nobility, powerful in their own right. They were men of great importance. However many there were, because there's no mention of three in the Bible, they would have travelled with a large entourage and they would have been well armed. We can guess this by the fact that Herod shows a bit of respect. Herod, who was known historically for his brutality and violence. Even the Romans gave up on him because he was too violent for their tastes. He would not have been daunted by three guys on camels. Here on the edge of empire, Herod is in a difficult position. He holds power because Rome says so. But he has no idea whether Rome is merely a passing empire or something that's going to last. These magi from the east could herald an invasion. This could be the new big power to take over. Here is a story that is full of politics and intrigue. Herod tries to trick these foreigners. Just come back and tell me when you find the child so I can go and worship him too. Herod, who had killed members of his own family when he thought that they were a threat, was he going to go and visit Jesus and show humility? Very doubtful. All that he wants is a bit of knowledge and these magi to depart, to go. The flight to Egypt is presented by Matthew as a fulfillment of prophecy, but it is also a very practical direction from Judea. It's the quickest way out of the country and away from Herod. But it is also in the direction of one of the biggest Jewish communities of the ancient world. At the time of Jesus, in and around Alexandria in Egypt, it was estimated that there was around about 1 million Jews, probably more Jews living there than there were living in the area that we know as Israel. And of course, it is much easier to be a refugee where you find a community of your own people. Most of this story does not fit our picture of the Nativity. The politics and the brutality tell of a world that has no place in a freshly scrubbed stable with cute animals and the manger looking all polished and nice and, you know, everything in place. In many ways, when we read the birth stories in Matthew and Luke, they're quite unsatisfactory. They don't have a definitive ending. They leave an awful lot unsaid. They give us far too many uncertainties. As we leave behind 2022, we know that we have not reached a new beginning. There was no definitive end to last year. We are carrying things from last year into this year. if we try to look forward into this year, there are far too many uncertainties. But that makes it much more part of a biblical type of story, because the Bible does not shy away from the uncertainties of life. It's there in the Christmas story. The heart of the gospel is faith to sustain us through the realities of life, not to give us certainties and to take away what cannot be foretold. Our hopes and fears are there in the Bible stories. So the Nativity, as it is written in Matthew and Luke, is set in the real world and presents us with real people. As the Gospels unfold, they are full of real people. And certainly Jesus, in his humanity, is truly Emmanuel, God with us. It is only as we read the Gospels and understand what is written in the light of the Easter story that we can make sense of Christmas. So what are we to make of New Year? Well, there is good in having a moment to stop and think, to look back at what was, to look forward to what might be, to make choices in this moment. One of the great joys of the Christian faith is that it's not just one moment that we have. In many ways, every day is the beginning of something new. By the grace of God, we are constantly being renewed. We have hope because we look not to the world around us, nor at our own frailty, but to God who sent Jesus into the world for our salvation. Our faith is in God. The future is always uncertain, but the presence of God is never to be doubted. For those of you who have very good memories, you might have noticed that I chose the same quotation as I did last year for this time. It just seemed such a good little phrase from Albert Einstein. And apologies to Derek, who thought that Albert Einstein was going to give the sermon. Einstein said, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow." And that is a biblical statement. We are meant to learn from our past, not least because we believe in forgiveness. We are to live for today. And thinking about my granny and her New Year tipple, my other granny had a habit of quoting a particular thing from the Bible. And of course, it was in the Authorized Version because it was a very long time ago. And what she would say is, "Sufficient unto the day are the troubles thereof." Live for today. And we have hope for tomorrow, because our tomorrow is in the hands of God. Amen. And thinking about our world, Alistair is now going to lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us once more draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, on this Lord's Day, the first day of the new year, we thank you and acknowledge that we are no longer our own, but were bought at a price. Therefore, grant that we will be faithful, steadfast, and content in whatever circumstances you ordain, for your glory and honour. The world around us appears to be more uncertain and volatile than ever before. Yet the trials and troubles that face us today are those of which the Church was forewarned in the Bible. conquest, war, famine, and death are all prophesied in Scripture, as is the persecution of the church that began in the earliest days of Christian history and will persist until Christ returns. While, therefore, all these things are concerning, may we rest in the knowledge that you, our God, are not caught off guard or surprised. We pray for increased confidence that you, Lord, remain in sovereign control, and that you will preserve the Church of Christ according to your promise. We continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine, where targeted bombing of civilians and residential areas continues. We cry with the Ukrainian people at the needless death and destruction. We marvel too at their resilience in the face of these hostilities, as well as the resolve of their armed forces to staunchly defend their land. Father, you stop wars all over the world. Please stop this one. There is growing concern about a resurgence of coronavirus coming out of China. We pray that the government there would properly monitor the situation, and for other countries to be vigilant too. We remember again our National Health Service under increasing pressure. Whether people using accident and emergency for minor ailments, shortage of funds, or shortage of staff, putting even more pressure on the existing staff. And on top, strikes or threats of strikes ranging from nurses to firefighters and many in between. We pray for your wisdom and guidance for those who have the means to resolve these issues. On this day, many in our land will be gathering with others to welcome in the new year. If we have warm homes and food on our tables, may we remember to give you thanks. We pray for those who do not, those deciding between food or fuel, whether to eat or to heat, and those who do not even have a home. As we sit down for our meal today, may we ask you to bless our home, Father, that we cherish the bread before there is none, discover each other before we leave, and enjoy each other for what we are while we have time. Heavenly Father, hear us now in the silence of this moment as we bring before you those people in situations known to us in need of your loving care at this time. So Father, please hear our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Our closing praise is hymn number 318, Lord, You Were Rich Beyond All Splendour. this new year with God's blessing, with the presence of Jesus to comfort you, with the Holy Spirit to guide and strengthen you to the glory of the Father. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.